Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Evolution is more than a theory. It is a fundamental scientific principle.
You know, there's a scientific term for that.
It's called baloney.
We are so stupid that we think that just because telephones and computers and cars are intelligently designed, that means we are too. Well, we're not.
I don't trust that Richard Dawkins.
In the beginning, God created heaven and the earth is the only logical explanation, unless you don't want to believe in science and logic.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
So there I am sitting in church with Jimmy Carter. Quite a worship service. This is Wretched Radio.
Oh, whoa, back to train up Lulu.
It's Mr. Lulu to you. Yeah.
You say that again. You were
I was in church with Jimmy Carter.
That's the part I'm wondering about.
Yeah. But you see I was in the
church. Go ahead.
That Jimmy Carter went to when he was the governor of Georgia. Now, let me ask you a question before you criticize me and suggest I wasn't being exactly truthful. Have you ever been in the church that Jimmy Carter attended when he was governor?
No.
I rest of my case. So there I am in church with Jimmy Carter, sort of.
More or less.
More specifically, it was announced that there was going to be a concert at a Baptist church in Atlanta, Georgia. We're in. They were doing Handel's Messiah, or at least parts of Handel's Messiah. And we went because it was free. And as a Christian,
it is incumbent
upon me to go to something that's free. That's what it means to be born again. You're stingy. And so we went to this concert, and it turns out that it was in the church that Jimmy Carter used to be a member of when he was the governor of Georgia. Needless to say, it's not conservative. Big, beautiful facility. It was a wonderful concert. The people who were leading it, mostly Presbyterians. I don't know how that worked either, but that's beside the point. So I thought, I'm going to stroll through Jimmy Carter's church and see what this thing is all about. And so for your consideration, I hold in my hand not one but
two
magazines from Jimmy Carter's church. And let's just see if we can figure out together what sort of Baptist church this is. I don't know about you. I hear Baptist church, and I'm inclined to think, well, that should be solid. Typically, I hear Presbyterian church, and I go, well, solid. That's not the case. There's a broad spectrum. Same thing with Lutherans. I think any major mainline Protestant denomination or Baptist, there's a broad spectrum. See if you can pick up the theme from this particular magazine. This one is called Nurturing Faith, Journal and Bible Studies. Well, the Bible study thing, it sounds wonderful. I just couldn't find it in the magazine. So I'll start reading to you the stories. Now, these are the beginning. This is page 5 of Jimmy Carter's magazine in his Baptist church. It begins. This is the editorial, by the way. The roots of this editorial go back beyond the public debates over sporting events and the national anthem that arose last year. Yet the continuing struggle for racial justice just can't be ignored. I already got a sense of where this magazine is
feeling a little social justice-y so far.
The word justice gets used a lot. To page 14, by the way, all I did, just so you know, I didn't cherry pick. I just went to the big stories because there's some ads and there's some announcements in here about who's doing what. But I just went to the big stories. So here's Koinonia Farm is the name of this story. Koinonia Farm at 75. So it's a story about a ministry called Koinonia. Why would something be called Koinonia? Street Greek. I'm not sure. Nevertheless,
Street
it begins.
Greek?
What's Koinonia? That's
like
Koine.
Fellowship? Yeah, no. Koine is. Yeah. Koinonia is.
Why
it fellowship
I was not sitting at the front of the class in Greek.
Togetherness.
All right, here we go. It begins Americus, Georgia. For 75. I've been to Americus, Georgia. We did a conference there. That was when the tornado went through Americus. Do you remember that? We were doing it was with Ray and with Koik and with Easy. It was the and that's where the boys the fireproof, close enough, the fireproof guys, the brothers, Alex, the Kendrick brothers. The tornado had just gone through there. We were doing a conference. If I'm not mistaken, it was a what was the name of the conference that we only did like 30 of them? Of course I would forget. Anybody remember?
Transformed?
No, I don't think it was a Transformed conference. Deeper. Yes, it was Transformed. Yep, no, it was a Transformed conference. And I believe the Kendrick brothers were there. And I was impressed by those boys. But that's another story. The tornado just went through. And you can see images of the devastation of a tornado on TV. It ain't nothing like seeing it. Wow, the hospital was ripped apart. That's America's Georgia in my mind, because America's is on my mind with Ray Charles. Here we go. This is the first paragraph. For 75 years, the fields and groves of Koinonia Farm have produced pecans, peace, and people of passion as a Christian community committed to simple, shared living, nonviolence, and...
Justice?
Justice!
Yeah, there we are.
What is the central interpretive motif, if you will? Okay, not the right word, but then again, I didn't have Koinonia right either. Central interpretive motif is your big thing. When you read the Bible, it's like, what's the big thing that guides you? When you think of God, what is the big thing? Like the majorist thing. That's right, majorist, because it's a super superlative, because that'll guide your worship. So for instance, or your understanding of God and the reading of his word. So for instance, if my central interpretive motif of the Bible is holiness. God is holy. Well, that's going to kind of change the way that I think about and read the Bible. Now, if my central interpretive motif is love, it's going to change the way that I read the Bible. It would seem that with liberal Baptists, the central interpretive motif is
justice.
Justice. On to our next story, shall we? This is Epiphany, Past and Present. And I think this was written, if I'm not mistaken, by a Presbyterian. Yep. I don't know why a Presbyterian is writing for a Baptist magazine. Epiphany, Past and Present. The word epiphany comes from Greek. I think that word is koinonia, if I'm not mistaken. And in the context means justice. I'm kidding. He wrote manifestation. The Christian season of Epiphany celebrates the manifestation of God and Jesus Christ to the world during the visit of the Magi to the infant Jesus. All right, first of all, he probably wasn't an infant, closer to two. Nevertheless, that detail aside, not a big deal. So far, so good. Now, the manifestation, second paragraph, is both the culmination and the unfolding mystery foretold by the prophets of Israel and the inauguration of the kingdom of God. That is another big word that gets used with these Baptists. The kingdom of God. I think it might have something to do with eschatology, but the goal of these particular Baptists seems to be bringing about justice, because that brings about the kingdom of God. If and you read the Bible with the holiness of God, we see that the kingdom of God, yes, it is on this planet, particularly when the church is gathered. The kingdom of God will be enforced totally after Judgment Day. Okay, the article goes on. From this perspective, the mission of the church should be shaped by the life, mission, and ministry of Jesus. In the inaugural events of this public ministry, Jesus cited the words of the prophet Isaiah as a summary of the liberating work he had been sent to accomplish, to bring good news to the poor, to release the captive, sight to the blind, and freedom to the oppressed. This liberating ministry of Jesus points to an understanding of the church as the community of Christ's followers, who join in the struggle to free humans created in God's image from the forces of oppression and enslavement. In other words, justice. Are we seeing the pattern? Why do these Baptists not talk the same way that conservative Baptists talk? Because they see their mission as bringing the kingdom of God through social justice. Here's another article. Only when it's dark enough can we see the stars. This is the next article on page 19 of Jimmy Carter's magazine. I think Jimmy Carter wrote this one. Could be wrong. Learned anything from the time in our country marked by slavery? Have we learned anything from the Holocaust? Have we learned anything from Rwanda? Have we learned anything from the refugees currently living in cardboard boxes and makeshift tents because their homes have been obliterated? Are we getting the sense of what Jimmy Carter's church is all about? And I have got, in this magazine, dog-eared each one of these stories. It is the exact same theme. Now, okay, there's an occasional decent sort of treatment of this or that, but they are all about justice, justice, and more justice. Another one, the importance of being defined by love. All are welcome. All can come to our church. In other words, no theological distinctives, no concern about living in sin here. Another one, just how moral is the Bible? What? What? Just how moral is the... How's about totally moral? And it goes about to cite concerns like slavery, sexuality, taking life, and even salvation? That... Because Jesus is exclusive, they're critiquing the Bible on those issues. The next time you go to Jimmy Carter's church or you see the word Baptist church and you think, well, they must be Baptist, think again. They're probably more about social justice at a liberal Baptist church than they certainly are about theology. This is Wretched Radio.
It's time for a drive-by minute.
When you leave the Bible, you have no sure way it's God. God told me, God impressed on me. He might have, but there's no way to know for sure. And there's no safeguard from error once you leave the Bible. It is so safe. Here's what you need to know to be saved and to be sanctified in your Christian life. So once we leave it, and when you leave it, it's called mysticism. You start separating the Holy Spirit from His Word, and it's dangerous. And it's very popular today. One of the words we need to remember is wisdom is knowledge applied. I mean, when you think about wisdom, it's knowledge applied to a moral end. A wise person listens to the Word of God and then makes decisions. And mysticism is the essence of it, is to separate the operation of the Holy Spirit from God's objective Word.
You can get drive-by biblical counseling too and all our drive-by resources at wretchedradio.com. The debates Christians find themselves in these days are littered with landmines. Transgenderism, LGBTQ issues, freedom of speech, abortion, postmodernism, marriage. Expository Apologetics with Dr. Vody Bauckham will lead you through these landmines. You will learn how to turn every morality debate into a witness encounter. Culture has changed. The Word of God has not. Let Vody Bauckham equip you to wield the sword of the Word, not to win arguments, but to win souls. To purchase your copy, go to wretched.org.
Perhaps you are just a wee bit double-minded, torn between two allegiances. Well, we at Wretched, we'd like to help. Maybe you're the type of person who loves evangelism ministries and you love to hear the stories of people who get saved. On the other hand, you love pro-life organizations and you love to hear the stories of babies who were rescued. And maybe you're torn and you don't know which one to support. We have your solution. Preborn.org. They preach the gospel to every woman who comes into one of their clinics. Babies are getting saved because of their ultrasound machines. Would you like to support a ministry like that? Please visit preborn.org. Women are getting saved. Babies are getting rescued. Who could ask for anything more? Visit preborn.org.
Looking for a thorough gospel presentation to give to a loved one or complete stranger? Todd's new gospel booklet, Don't Stub Your Toe, just might be the ticket. Not too long, not too short. Not too serious, not too soft. Not too dull, not too sharp either. Perfect for strangers, friends, relatives, or guests at church. To preview Don't Stub Your Toe or to purchase your copy, go to wretched.org.
Important dates in Christian history. 1830. Charles Finney's urban revivals begin and introduce techniques that decisively affect later mass evangelism in America. Finney's innovations included the anxious bench, a forerunner to altar calls, and the use of emotional manipulation to elicit a decision for Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
so many of you have been emailing. Okay, none of you have been asking the question, what is Jimmy Carter these days anyway? And sir, who
That's
knows?
That's a fair question.
What day is today? This is Wretched Radio. Sometimes he's a Baptist. Another day he's not so much, or maybe Southern. I don't know what he is.
Does he call himself a red letter Christian? I would
probably
assume he does.
Which is one of the most ridiculous movements of evangelical Christianity in, probably the early 2000s, give or take. Tony Campolo was one of those guys. The red letters, that's all that matters. And I'm telling you, if this particular church is any indication of what a pretty sizable group of Baptists is all about, it is not the gospel. It's all about justice. Here, I've got another magazine from Jimmy Carter's church that I attended. Fellowship Magazine. Really, boy, it was, I got to tell you, seeing Handel's Messiah, though. You know what I noticed, though, about, somebody explain this to me. Seriously, explain this to me. This is not a perfect observation, but I see this somewhat regularly. And you see this with liberal Presbyterians. You see this with liberal Lutherans. And you see it with liberal Baptists. Higher church. Higher church. And people, the hymnal, for instance, at Jimmy Carter's church, I read through it, couldn't help myself, because there are some slow parts in the Messiah. And I was reading through it, and it's like, wow, this is better liturgy and theology and prayers than what you get at a lot of conservative churches and evangelicalism. And yet, it just feels, this is when you look at it and go, it's dead orthodoxy. Not that it's boring, but because they actually don't adhere to it. They talk about Jesus and that he's our Savior, that's one thing to say that in your hymnal. It's another thing to have that driving your church. What comes out of their pulpit? Most likely a lot of sermons about social justice, the kingdom of God. This magazine, Fellowship Magazine, advocacy, here's the big words, advocacy, justice, refugees, catastrophe aid, and activism. That's what Fellowship Magazine is all about. This is a publication of Cooperative Baptist Fellowship, cbf.net. That's what the articles are about. Advocacy, justice, refugees, catastrophic aid, activism. Nothing in here about, what is that word? Koinonia. No, gospel. There's nothing in here about the gospel. The teaching about the Savior. Okay, maybe there's a drive-by here and there, but this is the overwhelming oomph. So explain to me why these mainline Protestant churches still hold to a higher liturgy. The chapel that we were in for this concert over Christmas vacation, magnificent. You'd look at it and go, okay, these people are serious. Yeah, they are. They're seriously liberal. And yet, this is where you get this. It's sort of like, but not completely. The Pharisees were conservative. They were. They were wrong, but conservative. And they had that outer look of religiosity. Liberal Baptists, an outer look of religiosity. But wow, if these magazines are any indication, they ain't conservative at all.
But they've got money if they keep putting out magazines.
Well, they're dwindling, though, too. They're shrinking. And you can expect this more and more. Who is it that I read? Bono. I was reading the Bono. He's the fellow that a lot of people got very excited about. He's a Christian. He professes to be a Christian. I don't know the man. And we've been seeing that throughout the years. Well, recently he did an interview for Rolling Stone magazine. And he talked a lot about things, but he specifically got into religion a lot. And I was struck by this. He would talk about how we've got to, help people, justice issues and what have you. And he was talking about Paul and getting through hard things, because my understanding is it was a little bit vague, I'm sure by design, but apparently Mr. Bono had some sort of health scare over the last year, and it really did scare him. And so he went to the Bible for his comfort. And I give the man credit for at least being bold enough to talk about his Christian faith, whatever that might be, in a public magazine, like a publication like Rolling Stone magazine. But notice what he said in the beginning, and I'm paraphrasing. There's so much about Paul that is so helpful. wonky and wrong about the whole gay thing and the women thing, but he said that he had a thorn in... Wait a second. Hold on. Back up. Just rewind that tape there, Mr. Bono, sir. He was wrong about the issue of homosexuality and the role of women. He was wrong. Expect more of that. The only way that these liberal churches are going to survive and potentially begin to thrive if, not to be too dramatic, the noose tightens on conservative Christians who uphold everything that the Bible teaches, if that happens, they maybe will be able to sustain themselves by being completely compromised on these issues. Otherwise, their numbers are going down and down and down. And interestingly, the only numbers that are going up and up and up are conservative churches. Pastor, that should encourage you. If you've been preaching the word, hang in there, because those are the churches that are growing. Jimmy Carter's church, they're shrinking. And the only way that I see them even sustaining in the future, now this is going to be a pretty wild prediction, but nonetheless, is that they become more and more of a happy slappy center where people go to get a little taste of religiosity to make themselves feel better so that they can suppress the truth and unrighteousness. This is Romans 1 all over it. But also if they become a state-funded church. Don't be surprised. You say, that couldn't possibly happen. Hello, paging China. Anybody want to see an example of the church that has to go underground because they adhere to the Bible versus being a state-sponsored church? And that's just the way that this is going in our country. Let's see if I can. Okay, over the Christmas vacation, not only did I go to Jimmy Carter's church, I read a fair amount of stuff. I don't think that I brought it with me, frankly, because there's just so much of it. And I thought, well, it would be dated by now. Okay. The Masterpiece Bake deal, the bakery thing, that's still going on. Here's the story. I'm a pediatrician. Here's what I did when a little boy patient said that he was a girl. All of these stories that we've got that are pointing toward, if you're a church that upholds the Bible in every way, shape, and form, look out. Unless you become Bono-like, or you become a Jimmy Carter Baptist church, I don't think it's going to go well. It's going to be harder. For instance, in Jimmy Carter's Nurturing Faith Journal and Bible Studies magazine, front and center, this is from an article titled, "Why Do Christians Post the Ten Commandments More Than Jesus' Greatest Ones?" So this is a critique of people who would like to see the Ten Commandments in public places. All right, so they are red-letter Christian, like, you know, love your neighbor. They kind of forget all the other verses where Jesus talks about repent, stop doing that, lest you also perish. They kind of forget, like, you know, Luke 9 through 20. Kind of forget all of that. Front and center in the history of white American Christianity is theocracy, genocide, enslavement, terrorism, domination, and discrimination against various minority people groups, always in the name of authoritarian, oppressive Old Testament rendered God. If I didn't know better, I'd say that I was reading a publication from Richard Dawkins. This is the Atheist magazine. No, this is a Baptist magazine, critiquing the church for being white and genocidal. Okay, if they want to go back to the Roman Catholic Church, that's fine in the Middle Ages. That's fine. But this says, front and center in the history of white American Christianity is theocracy. There are some that seek that. Genocide? Yep. I'm trying to think of an American genocide.
Native Americans and westward expansion.
Okay, all right, fair enough. All right. So it's the white folks who caused that. Enslavement, terrorism, domination, and discrimination against various minority groups. I am amazed they didn't throw in women. Far too many who claim the Christian name while rushing down a seemingly never-ending path of hatred and discrimination. In a quest to shore up social, cultural, and political power for privileged white Americanized Christianity, Jesus commandments, an example of inclusion, love, mercy, and compassion have faded from memory. That wasn't his real primary message. It was repent and believe the gospel. Mark 115. It's one thing to be shot at as a conservative Christian from an atheist organization. It's another thing to be shot at by a Baptist organization. I think we can look forward to seeing this more and more. More Bono-like Christians. More. And you watch the people that are already squishy. They'll wait. And then it's like, yeah. I'm all for homosexuality. Yeah. Don't take away my big building. You wait and see. And there will be a greater divide as the months and years move forward here, where it is not just atheists coming after Bible-believing Christians, but it will be those who profess the name of the social justice guru Jesus who come after you. Could be wrong. Doubt it. This is Wretched Radio.
Thank you for being here today. Always appreciate that you choose to spend part of your day with us at Wretched Radio. If you've been to the home of all things wretched, wretched.org, and checked about us, you will know that we hope to preach the gospel, equip the saints to share the gospel, defend the gospel, and strengthen the local church. Those are our three goals. We hope to do that on radio, TV, and through the internet. And we'd like your help in making 2018 the year that you share the gospel with the Big Toe Challenge, which is simply handing out Todd's new gospel booklet, Don't Stub Your Toe, to other people. Which means you can share the gospel without actually even having to talk to anyone, more or less. You can check out Don't Stub Your Toe, actually read it for yourself at wretched.org, and then make your decision if you would like to make 2018 the year you share the gospel with the Big Toe Challenge. All the details are waiting at the Wretched Store, wretched.org. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Books of the Bible. Titus was an apprentice and fellow missionary with Paul, left on the island of Crete to organize the churches there. The Book of Titus is a manual regarding the character, behavior, and doctrine of church leaders and church members. All of these commands are grounded in the gospel of Jesus Christ, what he has done for us, and who we are in him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Apparently it's Baptist Day here at Wretched Radio. I'm sorry, it wasn't really planned because, frankly, nothing here is planned on Wretched Radio. David Platt is a Southern Baptist. He heads up the North American Mission Board. He was preaching recently at the Oklahoma Baptist Convention, and he had some words for his fellow Baptists. With conviction. But then again, David Platt doesn't ever talk without conviction. He preached to a room full of pastors about the golden calves of the contemporary church. This is a Southern Baptist preaching to Southern Baptists. He's reading his Old Testament. That's right. There's still stuff that can be learned in that their side of the book. He was reading the Old Testament specifically about what the Jews, how they were behaving after they were redeemed, they were brought out of Egypt, and the behavior of the priests. What were they doing, and are we doing that today? This might sting a wee little bit. This is Baptist David Platt.
It's not the name of the game today in church growth. Felt needs. What do people want? We are tempted at every turn to revolve our ministries around what people want. We've created a whole cultural Christianity that prioritizes all sorts of man-centered traditions over God-centered truth. So many things we do in the church that are not in Scripture. We've proclaimed a cheapened Christianity that promises people everything and costs people nothing. We have given in to a crowd-pleasing Christianity that attempts to make people feel good every week about idolatrous devotion to money, big houses, nice cars, possessions, sex, sports, and success. And it's not just their idolatry. That's the point. It's our idolatry, too.
Ooh. Zoinks, Scoob. Taking a little poke. Okay, that wasn't a little poke. That was more like a kidney punch to those people who are involved in the seeker-sensitive movement, who compromise in any way, shape, or form, take their eye off of the gospel, and make other things the important things. So we need to be careful of this. if we're going to heed that warning, we need to remember this isn't just those kooky people that we see on TV who are making money the big thing. No, we can do that too. It's very easy to make the blessings of the gospel, the benefits of the gospel itself. Let's make no mistake about this. The benefits of the gospel are many. The gospel itself is Jesus died for sinners. That's the gospel. Forgiveness of sins. Now, is that where it ends? No. If you read through the New Testament, the blessings of the gospel. I think I wrote a chapter about this in Reset for Parents. That we are adopted, that we are heirs. The guilt is gone. The shame is gone. We have the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. We have the promise of everlasting life. We have the promise of having joy in the midst of trials. All of those are the benefit of the gospel. Challenge is, we forget that those are the benefits and we make those things the gospel. And come to Jesus. Joy, 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 joy down in your heart. Yes, that is a benefit. But that's not the gospel itself. Because when people come seeking the gifts and not the giver, they will get neither. David Platt, his second idol, the golden calf of evangelical Christianity. Brace yourself again.
We have celebrated salvation without dedication. We celebrated salvation without dedication. In Egypt, the people were surrounded by idolatry, including idols in the form of animals like this calf. But God saved them. He delivered them out of Egypt. Yet upon their deliverance, the first opportunity they have, they're running back to Egyptian gods. But here's what's so interesting. Follow this. While indulging in sin, they were celebrating salvation. Verse 4. He received the gold from their hand, fashioned with a graving tool, made a golden calf, and they said, listen to their words, these are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. You recognize that language? That's the same phrase that the Ten Commandments begins with, chapter 20, verse 1 and 2. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out, who delivered you out of the land of Egypt. Don't miss this. The blood of the covenant barely had time to dry. They're dancing around a calf, and they're claiming salvation while indulging in sin. Salvation with no dedication.
What an interesting observation. In other words, you can have people, they look religious. The Jimmy Carter church that I went to, they look religious. Even while they worship, however, their hearts are far from them. They're doing it so wrong. They're living their lives wrongly. There's no real salvation. They leave the church and they start acting like the pagans that they actually are. Because we preach a salvation with, well, there's no strings attached. We understand that. But that doesn't mean that there is no expectation from our God when it comes to the issue of holiness. Of course there's an expectation. Let's remember, salvation, justification, it is monergistic. God does it, and God does it alone. But that doesn't mean that the game is over. Now we begin the process of sanctification, and that is synergistic. It takes effort, it takes work. And there's a golden calf in the church today that says, oh, let's not be legalistic. Jesus is Savior, but he doesn't have to be Lord. The result of that type of preaching, oofta.
This is not foreign to us. It's repeated time and time again across our church culture. People who indulge in sin for year after year after year and think, well, I know I'm indulging in sin, but I made a decision in church years ago, so I'm okay. The result is a host of people who've made decisions at some point in the church, but let's be honest. They're sitting there week after week, and there's no desire for Christ in them. And do we see this? The host of professing Christians who think they're eternally safe, but may not be eternally safe. As they coast through this comfortable Christian spin on the American dream that is so far from Christ. Does Matthew 7 not haunt us that many people will say on that day, not a few, Jesus says many people will say, Lord, do we not do all these things? And I will tell them, I never knew you.
Theology is important. These days, there will be an increasing temptation to water down the gospel because, let's face it, we're all affected by the culture. And as postmodernism continues to reign in our society, we're going to see more and more Christians that water it down. Even in good churches, they're going to water it down because they don't want the retribution that comes with it. And the result of that type of preaching is false converts, of which there are gazillions. That's right, I actually counted them. There are gazillions of them these days. Pastor, don't capitulate. Don't give in. Don't water down. Don't let anybody in your church tell you, you know, some of that stuff, you're going to repel people. Just got an email from somebody. That very thing. Hey, when you go out to the campuses, you're driving people away from Jesus by telling them those things. Well, first of all, I can't drive anybody further away from Jesus than they already are. If they're not saved, they're not saved. There aren't degrees of not savedness. They're not saved. I can't push them away any more than I can push them into the kingdom. But we are called to preach the truth, just like Jesus did, who never watered it down. And by the way, if you think, well, that was just with the religious people. He never did that with the folks. Go read John 5 through 10. Yeah, actually, he did do that with the folks. David Platt, Southern Baptist, preaching about some of the golden calves in evangelical Christianity today.
Manufactured worship without humiliation, as if the text could not startle us anymore. We get to verse 5. And the Bible says, when Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it. An altar. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow shall be a feast to the Lord. He built an altar and said, tomorrow will be a festival to Yahweh. The next day they sacrifice burnt offerings. They present peace offerings. Do we see what's going on here? They've taken the guidelines for the worship of God and used them for the worship of an idol, even calling the idol the Lord. So they were worshiping. Oh, don't miss it. They were worshiping. The only thing they'd forgotten was God. Well, who were they worshiping? Look at verse 6. They sat down to eat and drink. They rose up to play. Same word here used in other Old Testament passages to refer to sexual immorality. The reality is they were worshiping themselves. They were worshiping themselves under the guise of worshiping God.
Here's where we need to be careful. We could be inclined to think, oh, those Jews. What was the matter with them? As if somehow their DNA is different than ours. As if somehow throughout the years that human beings have lost that ability and inclination. Now, am I suggesting that you are doing these things that David Platt is pointing at? No. You need to figure that out. Maybe you're not doing any of these things. Maybe your church rock solid, your worship, it is rock solid. At the very least, let us not be foolish enough to think that we do not have these propensities also, and that we can't be like Paul Simon and go slip sliding away just like the Jews did, who built a calf after God had redeemed them. This is Wretched Radio.
Did you know that Wretched has biblical, practical, and engaging Sunday school curriculum? Stressed Out, Gospel Clarity, Politics, Persecution, Sanctification, Evangelism Curriculum, Herman Hu, Life is Best, and the brand new Jesus Unmasked Study Guide that reveals Jesus in the Old Testament. Are you ready for Sunday school? Sunday school curriculum at wretchedradio.com.
Why should you consider sponsoring your own Tomorrow Club? Because of stories like this.
Eric came from a troubled family. His father was sent to prison, so him and his brother were left with his mother, and she abandoned them and left both boys with their grandmother. But trauma came as the grandmother passed away. The boys were left facing the possibility of an orphanage, one of their biggest fears, because the orphanages in Ukraine are not pleasant places. Fortunately, some relatives stepped in, and Eric ran into some people who were inviting kids to something called a Tomorrow Club. He liked what was going on there, started attending regularly. They began to disciple him. There was a time when he didn't have any place to live where they even found shelter for him. Well, the time came for Edik to trust Jesus, and he eventually became one of the leaders in the clubs and now is assistant coordinator of the region.
Would you please help us write more stories? Sponsor a Tomorrow Club, please. Visit tomorrowclubs.org.
What do altercations, arguments, bickering, disagreements, disputes, and fights have in common? They are all inevitable, and they are also avoidable. Conflict is our newest wretched resource, designed to give you the tools and skills you need to fight biblically. That's right. Conflict will teach you how to fight biblically, which will make all of your other fights go away. If you're weary from the battles in your home, Conflict. To purchase your copy, go to wretched.org.
Names of God. We learn a lot about God from the names given to him in Scripture. One name is Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord of our righteousness. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 tells us that God made Jesus, who knew no sin to be sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Before we all receive another kidney punch from David Platt, permit me to say thank you. Thank you very much. This is Wretched Radio. Heard from our dear friend, and he is indeed a dear friend. He and his wife, two lovely Christians. And I use that word rather advisedly. They are just, sometimes when you meet Christians and you go, wow, you're nice. You're just, there's something really different about you. That's Paul and Cindy Marty. They started the Tomorrow Clubs. Now there are hundreds and hundreds of Tomorrow Clubs throughout Eastern Europe. And so many of you in 2017 sponsored a Tomorrow Club. If I'm not mistaken, in the year 2017, close to 400 people, 400 new clubs have been sponsored. Do you realize what that means? I mean, seriously, do you know the impact that that could have? Wretched people alone, this year, 2007, last year, 2017, sponsored, let's just use the number, I think it's between 350 and 400. 400 clubs now throughout these poor regions of Eastern Europe where kids are going to hear the gospel. They come every week. It's sort of like Awana, but with really good curriculum. It's really solid stuff because they used to, it's a stronger curriculum, I think, than most. It uses the word repentance. It actually talks about some very scary subjects like God, because he is a consuming fire. And for somebody to appreciate what Jesus did on the cross, they really do need to understand his character and nature. So these kids are hearing that, and they are getting saved. And then they're going home. They're teaching the gospel to mom and dad. They're getting saved. And local churches are getting revitalized. So to the people, do you realize, just think of this. 400 times now per week, a group of about 30 kids who never met, never heard the gospel, didn't know anything about Christians. Oh, yeah, the Eastern Orthodox, the Ukrainian Orthodox Church, they're there. And in Moldova, they have a presence. But they're not going to church. That's dying. They're all dying over there. And this is breathing new life into it. Can you just 400 times a week, thanks to you. So I wanted to say thank you for that. I find it quite really hopeful. That's what I find it. That's just a lot. And there's many more of you who do. If you'd like to become one of those people, you can do that at tomorrowclubs.org/wretched. Tomorrowclubs.org. It's plural. Tomorrowclubs.org/wretched. And thank you very much if you have. Please know that you are supporting a club that's meeting every week that is actually preaching some of the things that Pastor Dr. David Platt from the North American Mission Board of the Southern Baptist Convention was warning fellow pastors about, that we in evangelical Christianity, we have created some golden calves ourselves. Looking back at the Jews, they're delivered from Egypt. A Red Sea parted. Is that enough to keep them Orthodox? No. They miss Moses. And so what do they say to Aaron? Build us a calf. Build us a calf. He did. And many of them worshiped the calf. We must not think that cannot happen to us today.
We've created a God without retribution.
We've created a God without retribution. This is the beauty of the golden calf. You could set up an altar. You could give offerings. You could indulge in revelry, and nothing would happen to you. What's the calf going to do?
Nothing.
One writer said, the cow gave no law, demanded no obedience. It had no wrath or justice or holiness to be feared. It was dumb and impotent, but at least it could not intrude on their fun and call them to judgment. This was a religion designed by men, practiced by men, and ultimately useless for men.
Oof.
God responds, though. In verses 9 and 10, this is a stiff-necked people. Let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them.
Pastor, may I ask you, when was the last time you warned the people that are sitting in your pews that God will consume them if they are not hidden in Jesus Christ? When was the last time you heard that in your church? Has it perhaps been a long, long time? Is it possible that we are committing the same sin? That we are not warning people about the wrath, that we don't want to make people feel bad. Might I suggest that we're not being kind at all, when indeed our God is a consuming fire? He is not to be trifled with. And if we never preach that, we are not preaching the whole counsel of God. We're not helping people when we fail to do that. We could be harming them eternally.
The consuming wrath of God is not known, acknowledged, recognized, feared in our day. Is it? And we fear so many things, fear holding so many people in our churches captive, afraid of rejection, afraid of the unknown, afraid of financial this or that, afraid of dying, afraid of death. Could it be that we're afraid of so many things because we are not afraid of God?
Oh.
Fear him, Jesus says. Fear him who, after your body has been killed, has authority to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Into hell. Fear the one who has authority to cast you into. So, Luke 16, an eternity of conscious torment. Matthew 22, a place of outer darkness. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, a place of divine destruction, away from the presence of the Lord and the glory of his might.
Got to watch out for this one, especially there is a trend, and it still persists right now in evangelical Christianity, and overall it's not a bad trend, but the trend is gracey grace. The grace is so gracious that we just grace all over ourselves. We're so grace-filled and happy. That's good. Grace is what Christianity is about. We are the gospel people. But let's be honest. The love of God alone is not enough to always motivate us to correct behavior and to curbing and mortifying sin. The Christian, too, needs to hear about the wrath of God and have the fear of the Lord. Yes, primarily motivated by what Jesus has done for us, but there are times when we need to remember, God could smite me while I'm looking at my pornography. God might return. The trumpets will blow. Jesus returns while I am having my affair or fornicating or cheating or lying or gossiping. Should we be looking over our shoulders? Yeah, I got to tell you, that ain't a bad thing. Golden calf, not just of the Jews who have been delivered from Egypt, but even for us today. Number 5, according to David Platt.
We've indulged in earthly pleasures while ignoring eternal purposes. This is what they're doing. They're playing. They're playing while the wrath of God is coming. They missed the whole point. God had saved them out of Egypt for the glory of his name among the nations. They were missing that purpose, God's mission for them, while they played with earthly pleasures. Can this not become the picture among us if we are not careful? There is a battle raging for the souls of men and women all over the world, in Oklahoma, millions and billions of people and thousands of people groups around the world, who right now, his wrath is coming. His wrath is coming. And our greatest concern is how our football team's going to be ranked or what position we might get in this church or that church. God help us to see what he sees.
Have you heard a sermon like that lately? Need more of them. Pastor, we need more of them. I know you're not Casey Kasem. I'm putting in my request. We need more sermons like that to remind us, to keep us on mission, because the Jews were supposed to be what? A holy, called out, set apart people. Does that have any implication for us? Yeah. What is 1 Peter about? We're supposed to be a holy, set apart, different kind of people. And we need these reminders. And if I could sneak this in, if you don't mind, if you have not been about the business of warning people about the wrath that is to come, I want to encourage you to get on that this year. This year. Take the big toe challenge. Get copies of Don't Stub Your Toe at wretched.org. Pass out one a month. Pass out one a week. You don't even need to talk to somebody. And I promise you, lovingly yet firmly, it will warn people about the wrath that is to come. Let's heed what David Platt is saying, and let's get on it this year.
So Moses, in the passage that follows, stands in the gap, humbly pleads for this people as their leader. And God relents his wrath. That's where I was in Ezekiel 22 the other day. And God said, I sought for a man among them who should build up the wall and stand in the breach before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. And I, just in my quiet time, I was just, Lord, I want my life to stand in the breach. I want to stand. Let's lead with conviction, brothers and sisters. Let's preach salvation with dedication. Let's humble ourselves in worship and fear before God. And let's live with urgency for the eternal purpose of God. And let's do this knowing. So here's the great news. Knowing that one greater than Moses has come. That we have a mediator who humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross.
Until tomorrow, go serve your king.